Loch Ness Monster, but without a neck. Hello.
It's, I don't know what time it is. My microphone's been hollow.
No, I'm just screwing with you.
How about mine?
I'm just...
Is mine any better?
You're really loud.
I am? Okay.
You should drop Tim's mic just a bit. We want to thank Jeff McGinley who came in and fixed Tim's processing. As overburdened, as overworked, as harried as they are, the CBS Radio Engineering, they were on the job, ladies and gentlemen.
Engineers.
They really are. They're fantastic. That's why it was wrong of me to screw with them just now. Start the... Hello? Can you...
My mic has a little bit of a hollowness to it.
I don't know what time it is. Oh, it's what? Really?
It's only 2 minutes after. I killed 2 minutes just with that stupid joke?
Whatever. All right. I'll do that a few hundred more times. We're done. Hey, it's 2 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11 in this month of January in the year of our Lord, 2007. From the plushly appointed and short-lived studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. This, my friends, this is the Rick Emerson radio program.
You should explain what you meant by that.
We've all got cancer. No, it's that at some point in the future, I don't even want to say when. It's not that it's like a secret. It's just if I say when, then God will punish us and it'll happen late. Or Sarah will be killed by a train. In which case, we'd still move over. It doesn't matter. I mean, life is for the living. You got to move on. Can't be burdened down by grief. So someday when Sarah's dead, we'll all charge forward.
Why do you keep saying when Sarah's dead? That's not very nice.
No reason.
You're kind of scaring me.
I certainly don't know anything you don't know. No, I'm just screwing with you. No.
That is not very nice.
No, it'll be me. I'll be the one who's dead. Hello, and welcome to Thursday. That was phlegmrific right there.
Phlegm-tastic. I covered my mouth.
You got a cough button.
I do not.
You got an off button. You don't have a cough, but you do have an off. I have a cough button. Right there. That thing right there. I stole that from Fat Boy. Fat Boy was doing like his. It was like a low rent. It was like a low rent Mixmaster mic thing the other day when he was all like that.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I know, but you can't start doing it though because it becomes addictive. Because then you just want to give it like yeah, boy, kind of a thing.
Okay, yeah. Stop.
You missed a great moment, and by you, I mean everybody, and by missed, I mean didn't hear, and by great moment, I mean a horrifying moment, right before today's radio program, which is, there was, and I mean really just the whitest of white men. I mean boomer white. I mean Clorox white. Standing in here discussing, I swear to Christ, discussing like 5 minutes ago. Bunch of white men in this room standing around discussing how to pronounce the name of rap impresario Busta Rhymes. And I swear to God, there was a long, involved, very serious discussion about whether it was Buster Rhymes or whether it was Busta. Which then, and it climaxed with the chief of the director of engineering here. The director of engineering at CBS Radio's. Sort of just a really big white guy himself standing up and saying, no, it is pronounced Busta Rhymes. And then we all kind of went, yeah. And then we looked over and saw Sarah like looking at us as though we were some exotic species of centipede under a microscope. And I realized then that it all had gone wrong. It's 5 minutes after the hour of 11. If you'd like to call us today, for whatever reason, if you'd like to call us with your hip-hop pronunciation questions, it's 503-733. We should do a long list of things that white men should never try to say out loud. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It can be difficult. I'm going to put a pin in this. I'll come back to it. Hip-hop. All right. If you'd like to email us, for whatever reason, your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your what have you, it is rick@rickemerson.com. That's the very fine email address you can use here to communicate with us electronically. It is rick@rickemerson.com. And again, the phones today are 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. No, to go back to an earlier thing, here's the deal. So at some point, maybe this month, maybe in February. I don't mean that. I'm not trying to make it sound as though engineering is not getting the job done. They clearly are. But, as always, As in any corporation, there's too few people trying to do too many things with too little resource to work with. That's just kind of how it is. You never quite have everything you need. You never quite have the time you need to do it in. And you never quite have enough people, to get the job done the way that you would like it done. So it comes down to, just putting in a lot of work. So the engineers who work for this, and I would say right now, this is no disrespect to people we've worked with in the past, because some of our past engineers, specifically one Mike Everhart, they really set the bar high for engineering staffs. But I got to say, we've been treated fantastically by the staff of CBS Radio Portland. And it's important to note that not because anybody out there cares about it, except in as much as it affects the quality of the broadcast every day. Like on those, 3 days out of 5, we go to the phones and nothing works. Or when Tim opens his microphone and it sounds like he's broadcasting from downtown Zagreb. But the engineers are important to you guys, whether you know it or not, because they affect the quality, the sound, the tone and tenor of the broadcast. But also to us, because, as you know from Don Geronimo's tantrums and antics, that when things go poorly in an engineering sense, everything, the wheels just start to come off the wagon, and in all work and no functional microphones make Jack an angry boy. And engineers are usually incompetent jerks. And I say that is an absolutely true, sweeping statement. That's a generalization that I'm absolutely comfortable making. Now, we have been very blessed that we now work with great engineers, and we've had some in the past, but a lot of engineers are just anti-social dicks who get nothing done. It's true, and
we've worked with those too.
And you know who I'm talking about. You're out there. I'm speaking to you. Mm-hmm. You know who I'm addressing. So, in any event, As I've said before, every radio engineer, first of all, not every radio engineer, but the vast majority of radio engineers, they all believe, sometimes rightly, that they are too smart for the job, that they're overeducated, and that they're being paid too little to do work that is beneath them, because they'd all rather be at home building like a hovercraft out of Twizzlers and aluminum foil. And so they don't want to be bothered by coming to actually, like, fix your headphone jack, or, something that's actually useful. The statement most frequently heard out of a radio engineer's mouth is, well, let me know if it happens again. And then they just vanish down the hall and you never see them. It happens again. It happens as they're leaving. And then you look out, your nose pressed to the glass like some sort of a pet shop puppy. It's looking out, trying, and then they're in their car, driving away, not answering their cell phone. You can never find them again. The problem recurs. They have vanished like so much dust into the wind. So, anyway, it's a long way of saying that there was a microphone problem. I know you'll find that hard to believe. About 5 minutes before the show today, and Jeff McGinley, ably assisted by Brian Jones, came in and fixed it. They fixed it. The problem is solved for now, for today. But at the end of the month, or the beginning of next month, we are moving to new studios. So, anyway, there you go. Glad I took 9 minutes to explain one comment by Tim. So, yeah, we're going to be moving to a new studio next. There's Jeff. Give me this. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Jeff McGinley. So, yeah, next month we're going to be moving. So be listening for that. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Without further ado, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
Hold me like you did by the lake on Naboo.
No!
Taking my life in my hands, picking up the phone.
Yes, here. Phone works. Yes, please. Don't hate me. Phone.
Genius. See, and the weird thing is, and again, I don't mean to put this on engineering, because the fact is there's some equipment here that, you know how sometimes, like, you'll see an ad for something, like a dildo, and it'll say gently used. And, here's the thing, the equipment...
Where are you shopping at? You see ads for that.
Did I still say dildo? I meant vacuum cleaner. And it'll say...
So they do the same thing.
Yes, people sell them door to door.
Hey, Fuller Dildo, man!
What do you mean, Fuller?
I mean...
Fuller? I barely knew her. Anywho...
You was asking for it.
No,
yes,
you'll...
Stop.
Okay, so you'll see things, though, that are advertised as being gently used. Like, sometimes you'll see that with, like, whatever, like a kitchen appliance, a truck or something, whatever. They've got a Ford Tempo, gently used for a few years. The equipment here is not really gently used. The equipment here has been used repeatedly, usually incorrectly, and usually without any care given to whoever, and by whoever, I mean us, it would be using it in the future. So the bar is set so low in some ways for happiness here. Like, whenever I go to press the on button on the phones and it doesn't immediately catch fire, Rick is a happy guy.
Yes.
So there you go. All right.
Do you happen to be talking about a certain engineer that might have thrown a stapler at a certain program director and then got maybe fired?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Huh. Okay, I just care.
Oh, I liked that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not him.
You can't go. You can't be throwing staplers at management, though. That doesn't work. You can't. That's not a way to a long and happy career, boy. And then
at least it wasn't bullets.
No. Can I just tell you this though? Now here's. Now see. How do I make this relatable? Because we're talking about something that really only like five people within. Really, unless you worked at that company, or are you
at that time?
Because he was at Aaron's wedding. This guy we're talking about. Did you see him?
No.
I know who I'm talking about. Yeah, that him. Okay, let me recap for people. Sarah and Tim and I, when we worked at a different radio station, we worked in the building with, we'll just say an engineer. We won't be any more specific than that. An engineer whose intrapersonal skills, like those of many people whose days revolve around hooking bits of wiring together, were maybe not as good as they might ideally have been, and didn't really relate well with other carbon-based bipedal life forms.
Unless you knew a lot about anime.
Yeah, really, unless you wanted to talk about tentacle porn, in which case he was probably all over that. But apparently after we left that after we departed that radio station, apparently he was fired because somebody asked him to do something and he responded by throwing a stapler with full force at their face. Which I can appreciate the urge to do that. I really can. It's fantastic. But, I mean, you got to do that when nobody's looking and when there are no cameras around to catch that activity. So it's just your word against theirs. Anyway, so that was awkward. And then we ran into him at Aaron's wedding. I was walking. We were at your wedding and I turned afterwards and we're walking down the aisle to leave. And, like, bam, I walk right into this guy. And I'm like, hey there, staple thrower. You know, the guy. Hi there, the crazy unstable engineer who will kill us all someday. And he's all, hello, how are you? Like all that, like a weird clenched teeth, like tight sort of smile. Hello, Rick, how are you doing?
No, I really liked that guy. He was good.
He never threw anything at me. He liked you because of your womanly allures. He liked your feminine charms.
We talk about computers.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you were talking about computers. He was talking about something else.
Yeah.
You may have thought it was a computer discussion. Anyway, so, all right, well, let's move forward. Here's what we've got today. Jim Roop talks about another tedious award show that no one really cares about. Oh, and what else? He's talking about something else. Didn't he start on CNN tell you Jim Roop is talking about, I don't know, scam diet companies or something? Let's see what else. Nancy Pelosi goes mad with power. Don't stick your head out of an elevator while it's moving up a shaft.
Oh.
I don't even know the story. It's my favorite of the year.
No, it's great. It's fantastic. We will today get to the worst story ever, which we pulled for yesterday. It is a cannibal watch. We'll get to that today. It's fantastic and awful all at once. We've got that. We'll speak to CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, who's there as the new, 110th Congress? Yeah, 110th Congress comes in today. Making a mess of the works already. We'll speak to her. Tim Riley will talk about the most popular stories of 2006 as we continue to try to do our little wrap-up. And that's it. Oh, and I'll play this horrible thing from Tara Reid, which you probably all have heard a million times, but whatever. I'm going to pretend that Adam Carolla didn't, like, play it this morning or something. There you go. That's what we've got. And I'm at what? I'm at five.
You're at five, yeah.
I'm at five. The point is five. Five push-ups today, so.
But don't feel bad. If his ratings keep going the way they are, you won't be copying Adam Carolla for very much longer.
I did not say that. Listen. Okay. I think we're done now.
Oh, my phone breaking up?
Yeah, you're.
That's oh, I love the show.
I regret nothing. All right, there you go. I don't know what he was referring to. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like it. Rick@rickemerson.com. We're joined today, as always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How you doing? What do you keep looking over there for?
There's a man outside waving at us.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that.
There's nobody out here.
He was just there.
I think it's one of the...
You must believe me!
No,
I'm not mad!
I think he's one of the FM disc jockeys.
Those don't exist anymore.
Don't be crazy. Oh, here comes Smokey. You tell that to him.
Yeah, Smokey's the last of it. Smokey's the last of a dying breed. Hey, how you doing? Hey there, Sugar Lips. Really, he's the only one, though. Smokey really is sort of... He's like a coelacanth. Smokey... That's an illusion you never thought you'd hear. Smokey is sort of the coelacanth of the radio industry. He's a live midday disc jockey. You thought they were gone, and then we found one. We found one to prove that they do still exist somewhere.
He talks to people, too.
He actually
and
speaks
back to calls.
He speaks to people. If you call our sister station, 98.7, or as they're being called this week, 90.7, KUPL, if you call the request, if he's not out there smoking a cigarette, he will answer and speak with you. And he'll be pleasant and charming while he does it. That's his bailiwick.
He does. Smokey is one of the most charming men I've ever met. He has that same kind of Clyde Lewis thing. Like, him and Clyde can remind me.
You talked to each other. And we're talking about somebody, maybe you know, maybe you listen to a couple, maybe you don't, but there's this guy, Smokey, does middays on this country station that's next door to us, and he is one of those guys, you always hear this as a cliche, but you speak to him for like 5 minutes, and you feel like you've just known that guy for like 20 years. Mm-hmm. He's just instant familiarity, and he's got this great, I got to try to like coax it out of him naturally in the air someday when he's in here, this weird laugh that he does, which is alternately sort of warm, but then insidious at the same time. It's sort of like that, it's sort of like the laugh that the serial killer does. Like, as he's offering you
as
tea.
As he's chainsawing.
Yeah, like he's giving you tea with one hand, but then he's got, like, a boning knife behind his back with the other hand. He's sort of, have some tea. You know, right?
That would make a good promo for a show.
Smokey, he's got a boning knife.
God.
Anywho, so here we are with Sarah Dillon.
I don't understand what you and your obsession with like Smokey and sausage and boning knives.
What do you mean?
I mean, you keep bringing it up. It's just and you just called him Sugar Lips as he walked by.
Well,
do you have a thing for him?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, because he's on that thing about he was talking that smack about me. I don't want to get off into this right now, but wasn't he talking, and by smack I mean heroin. Wasn't he talking to you about me about the bathroom?
He was.
He was complaining that I filth up the bathroom.
He says that he has proof that he's followed you after you've been in the bathroom.
Oh, and I'm the creepy one.
He has DNA.
Yes, since I'm the creepy one. Smokey's following me.
No, we only have the one bathroom, and he said that you, when you come out of the bathroom and he goes in after he's been waiting for you,
yes,
he said that you've left a mess.
That, and by mess, you mean something unpleasant.
Yes.
You mean that it is not it's not tidied. That's not true, first of all. And second of all, don't you find it a little strange that Smokey would be preoccupied with whatever leavings there might be?
Somebody's doing something to the bathroom because there's sprinkles of what don't seem to be water.
I pride myself on my bathroom cleanliness, by the way.
And sometimes I go in there and the toilet paper is wet and there are sprinkles of like water in front. So what I want to ask you.
No. But when you said the toilet paper is wet, you mean on the roll?
On the roll, yeah.
In the wall?
On the wall.
That doesn't even make any sense.
What would make sense?
Somebody has been taught how to use that incorrectly.
No, what would make sense is if somebody was washing their hands and then they're like moving their hands over and drying their hands with toilet paper. That's what I've kind of come to.
Who would do that?
Maybe they were reaching for a paper towel and their wet hands dripped upon it.
Yeah, because
it's every day.
Really? Because when you think about it, who would be washing their hands with...
I'm we have a sentence play that wrote up a wash my toilet seat!
That was too easy. No, that doesn't make any sense.
He says
if the toilet paper roll... If the toilet paper roll on the wall, that's like some Demolition Man crap right there, where that's like somebody doesn't know how to use the shells. Well, anyway. Hi, Sarah, how are you?
I'm good.
Okay. Here's Tim Riley. He's working on some news and stuff.
I don't know what to say after that.
There's really no way
let's
to follow.
Let's just all watch Rick very closely.
Yeah, please. Let's do that. Yeah.
Well, the Democrats are now in charge, but nothing feels any different. Obama will be Hillary's biggest obstacle to the White House, so something will have to be done about him. You youngsters will be disappointed, or perhaps don't even know, that Fox has canceled the OC due to a lack of interest.
Seriously, who even knew that show was still on the air?
Yeah, they lost me when he decided to go cage fighting.
What?
Cage fighting?
Who?
One of the main characters dies, and then the other guy, in response to how sad he is about her death, starts to become a cage fighter.
Are you sure you weren't watching an episode of...
I'm serious.
...of, like, Walker, Texas Ranger or something? I will avenge you by cage fighting!
The guy who became the cage fighter was the guy that that we had on the show.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You remember during...
Matt? No. Yes. I don't know.
Remember we had the guy from the OC on the show?
No.
It was a telephone interview. He didn't come in here.
No, he came in when we were at Entercom.
Who did we have from the OC and when?
This guy, he plays the character of Ryan.
What was his name?
I can't remember. Benjamin something.
That's a long forgotten version of the show anyway.
Yeah, really. That's like a...
It was during the campaign. He was campaigning for whoever the other guy was that didn't win. Kerry.
I swear to God, I have no idea.
I cannot believe right you now. Don't remember this.
We try not to remember anything from that, Bill.
Seriously, so I try to block it all out.
And Bill Kim stayed late because he was a huge fan of the OC.
I remember that. Bill Kim, who was a board op, was a big fan of the OC. Oh, he'll be crushed by this. All right. Okay.
You're very frustrated.
This just came. No, I just don't remember having a guy from the OC in the studio. What did I talk to him about?
He talked about the campaign.
What campaign? The presidential campaign? Kerry, that was his name. Yeah.
John Kerry.
I tried to block that whole thing out, too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't remember any of that.
Well, it was a show that you had general disinterest for anyway.
And now it's gone. Okay. Is Scotty going to answer these phones? I guess the answer is no. Hello, Rick. Hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, how you doing? Is this Rick? This is Scotty.
Hi.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Hey.
Listen, cure for problems in the bathroom. Kitchen matches.
I don't... Oh, no. I don't believe he's referring to that.
No, you light a match.
Yes, I understand.
The smell of the match takes things out of the air.
I don't think that's what Sarah was referring to. I think that... Right? Am I correct about that? You're...
No. Sarah, but what is unfortunate is that there are about 300 people sharing one bathroom.
See, thank you. That's what I was referring to. Is because there used to be multiple bathrooms on this floor. And it used to be... Thank you, Tim. That's Tim. I was going to say... they're doing a lot of reconstruction here. They're doing a lot of remodeling. And so there was a bathroom, actually a set of bathrooms, that was for salespeople, office staff, and so forth. And then there was a bathroom for the talent. There was a bathroom for the on-air people. And there was this glorious golden time when this, and by time I mean like about a month ago, when the salespeople didn't even have access to this part of the building. It was fantastic. Really, it was as though Jehovah himself... His beaming, glorious visage was looking down on us, and the salespeople couldn't even get in. Couldn't get in if they, I mean, if there was a fire in the building and this was the way they had to get out, they'd be hosed. They couldn't get in here. But now the other bathrooms have been closed. This bathroom, the on-air talent bathroom, is the only one now on the floor. And so really, Sarah's right, there's like hundreds of people at any given moment trying to get in here to use our bathroom. And so it could be anybody that they're referring to. And and you're not referring to that anyway. You are saying... And this is, I'm just speaking clinically now. You are saying that the roll of toilet paper on the wall, and this is what I don't understand.
No, what Smokey said about you specifically is that you pee everywhere.
How would... Okay, I'm not even going to dignify that. How would he know?
I don't know.
Is he photographing the bathroom after everybody... Did, like, every time somebody uses the bathroom, Smokey, I have to go in and check the status of the bathroom. So I have to go... I mean, that doesn't even make any sense.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Like all around the toilet.
I have to go see what Paul Halama left the bathroom like. I'm going to go in now. All right.
Oh, no need to be mean.
Sarah Dillon's here's the bathroom. Now I must go in and reconnoiter. All right. Alexander, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello, Rick.
Hello.
Hey, not to completely gross you out here, but you know how you like Purell and all that, and you like to keep yourself nice and clean?
All right. Is this going to be some sort of a call that I... Do I have to bleep part of this?
No, because it's already been said on the air by a certain person who has a weekend show who I'll just use the name Tim with a show that might have a name like Timnasium.
Yeah.
Has said on air that because he's a tall fellow,
yeah,
he likes to use a sink for
Are you kidding me?
No, he has said this on the air, and you can...
Hold on. I'm going to take over at this point. Thanks for flying. I'm going to take over. Hold on.
Okay.
Now, are you saying that while listening to the Timnasium, Saturdays 4 to 6, with Tim Savage, that he has spoken of... We have to be careful. That he has spoken of using the sink as though it were a toilet?
Well, a urinal.
A urinal? Really? Has he said that on the air?
He has said that on the air as one of his ticks.
Attention advertisers. Understand, I don't really care from a programming point of view. Look at what I do every day. I'm just...
But,
that sort
know,
of
I
seems
mean,
like an inside
to
thought.
Kind of clean up and...
What does that have to do with the toilet paper roll being wet, though? That's what I don't get.
Well, is the toilet paper roll near the sink?
No, it's not. It's on the other side of the room. Unless he's...
Does Tim have good aim?
Unless he's constructed like a colander. All right, we're going to end this call now. Thank you. I really had no idea this was all going to happen.
I know. Well, and Smokey was speaking from a place of genuine concern. He thought there might be something wrong with you.
I'm sort of suffering from a case of perforation. Moving on now. Well, I had all this stuff to it. Tim, are you done teasing the news?
Yes. Forward motion, please.
Oh, did you
already... Did you already tease your stories?
I believe so, yes.
Because it was the last one that triggered the thing. What was your last news story? That you teased?
Your youngsters will be disappointed to learn Fox has canceled the OC.
And then there was a whole discussion of some guy that we had on from the OC. Do you remember
I just
that?
I got a text message from intern Kyle.
Really?
Mm-hmm, and he said he remembers the OC guy.
Yeah.
I don't remember too... You know... That was just a job we dragged ourselves into, that 9 to 12 version of the show. After I was exhausted from all those listeners from the Adam Show, I don't know how I managed
it. Oh, and you and I were already there.
Three more hours.
It's thousands of people tuning in during the IMUS program just to hear Tim's news. And by thousands, I mean five or six people, maybe. Yeah.
Poor Tim, you were there super early.
Yeah, that sucked. Yeah, that was... It's a living, breathing hell.
I mean, I would have been better off doing a radio show from my bedroom. Which I ended up doing months after that.
Speaking aloud to the ceiling.
I saw a Greg Glover yesterday.
Who?
Greg Glover.
Oh, from the
Speaking of Early Morning.
Yeah, I still call it NRK. Everybody does.
He always tells me to tell you hello, and I never do so.
Hi, Greg. How you doing?
Hi.
All right. Well, there you go. Okay, this has been a gripping segment for everybody who doesn't work in radio, I'm sure. I have this whole thing about,
let's just stop.
Yeah, there's no point. I was going to mention this thing about...
No, don't.
And then I also had...
No, don't do that either.
But finally, I had this segment here about...
Nah, maybe later.
Okay. Well, there you go. It's the Rick Emerson Program. Back to you. That's a jerk.
See, I sense that you're actually starting to get a little upset about this.
Now I don't even want to use the bathroom.
This is actually the first time that I've ever seen you not use the bathroom in a break.
Well, there's all this scrutiny now.
You know?
And that was Lisa calling just now. That's Lisa calling again, by the way. Scotty J, I'm looking in your direction. Just ringing away. Oh, for the love of... Can you... Thank you.
I hate these phones.
Fantastic. All right. So she's actually picked up, but you can't speak to her.
Okay. Yeah, why don't we just pick her up?
All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program, Lisa Goddard from the... do we have the thank you? Hello! And howdy. Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent extraordinaire. Hello there.
Hi. Is everything okay?
I'm sorry?
Is everything okay?
Well, I'm not really sure where our alleged phone screener went to. It's like he was there and...
alleged performed phone screener.
Now your phone seems to be acting badly. All right.
My phone is acting bad.
For the love of... All right, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put you on hold for a second. Can you go see where Scotty is, please? Lisa, I'm going to put you on hold for a second. Don't go anywhere. That's Lisa Goddard. It's sort of like how you can... have him talk to her and see if she wants to call back in just a second from somewhere else. Because her phone, it's got that underwater... There's all kinds... I don't know how to diagnose cell phone ills. There's all kinds of ways in which phones... Sometimes it's just like... And then a lot of times there's like what happened to her where it sounds like it's underwater, like it's flanging or something. And I don't know what that means. You know, it's like how you can make it rain by washing your car. We can make people call by having Scotty leave. As soon as he steps out of the room, that's when somebody from CNN calls. And then when... Sarah has her own phone bank in here, like one of those Time Life operators, like one of those telethon banks. And operators are standing by to take your donation. Sarah has one of those in front of her. And I have never figured this out. Sometimes when you pick up the handset and hit the button, you can talk to them and they can hear you and you can hear them. And then sometimes, no, right? Didn't that happen just now?
Yeah, I can't hear her.
You just pick up the phone and she can't hear you for whatever reason. And you know the other thing is, I poured myself a cup of coffee right at the top of the show at like 11 o'clock and then I still haven't consumed it. It's been sitting right here. So I am dangerously under-caffeinated at this point as well.
Maybe you're afraid that you're going to drink too many liquids.
Why don't you shut up? Why don't you be afraid of that, huh?
Well, I talked to... I talked to Smokey and he's more than willing to come on... In a few.
Great, fantastic, because that won't be awkward at all. I didn't even use the bathroom. That's how, I'm just saying. See, now I don't even want to go.
And I'm saying...
I'm sorry that Lisa has to hear this whole conversation. Now I don't even want to use the restroom.
And I'm not saying this, and you're saying that it's not true, but I did get an email from somebody who knows you very well who says that they maybe have kind of noticed that.
I swear to God, I'm going to divorce that woman. I'm going to divorce her, and I'm going to leave her in a dumpster somewhere. Was it my wife?
awful.
Oh, I didn't mean that. I love you, honey. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, who joins us now. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hello.
Hi. How's your day going?
You know, I guess better than yours. You guys are really lifting me up over there.
It's been an interesting morning so far. Oh, that's okay. It's just the usual interpersonal squabbles at CBS Radio Portland. Nothing to worry about.
Right.
It'll all be resolved someday when they, when they change the lineup and it's just me and Todd Bridges. Everything will be going flawlessly after that. Oh, good God Almighty! Hey, Nancy Pelosi seems to have gone insane with power. Is that true? Yes or no?
Okay, this is what happened in the last 10 minutes. As you were having your domestic problems.
Yes.
Nancy Pelosi did, in fact, take the Speaker of the House job. She gaveled in Congress, and she swore an oath to her fellow members of the 110th Congress. What I think she did that was very interesting was, you know, when Congress starts its new session, a lot of members bring their children to watch them be sworn in. Well, Nancy Pelosi, as soon as she went up to the chair, she said thank you, and she gave her speech. And then afterward, she called up all the children from the House to come stand up there with her.
Really?
As she gaveled in Congress. And it was really a ceremonial gavel. Session had already really started. But it was a fascinating scenario. And a lot of these were small children. And, in fact, the little boy right next to her, I think her grandson, really was the troublemaker. You know, he got up to that front spot. He was sitting there banging the gavel on the table as she had to kind of tell him to stop. But you could tell this is a woman. It was interesting to see this really is a mother who has taken over. And that's obviously what she was trying to get across. But she did a good job of not having to look at any kids, but yet, and there you can hear her kind of underneath talking again. But doing a good job of, you know, knowing these kids were getting into trouble. And while she was, opening Congress, she was also trying to get a gavel out of a youngster's hand.
That's just bizarre. I mean, that's just all kinds of weird Cruella de Vil, Willy Wonka, Michael Jackson imagery all kind of swirled together there on some sort of... Man, it is days like today, and it is years like this last year that I really regret that we are no longer graced by the presence of Dr. Hunter S. Thompson, because I can't...
Yes.
I can't even imagine what the good doctor would have to say about all of this. I mean, it's just... Here's the thing about Nancy Pelosi, though. Is it... I pulled this story somewhere. I don't have it in front of me. But is it... Did Nancy Pelosi refer to herself as the most powerful woman in the country?
I have not. I cannot verify that.
That's... let me see if I've got this. It was, now, to be fair, I think this...
No, you know what? I think that the media probably has done. I mean, certainly she is the highest ranking woman in the United States government. You know, I don't know if most powerful has other connotations.
Let's see. Now, to be fair, this is linked from Drudge, but it does look to be a Washington Times news story. And, of course, as Drudge sometimes does, he's driven so much traffic to it that the site is now gone. The site's dead. So I don't know exactly what it is, but there... She really does seem to. She really does seem to have a little bit of. I mean, she has no problem going in there and just immediately like laying down kind of the possession of the stake of ownership and all of that. And I wonder if, I mean, we're sort of. I don't know. We're sort of treading into areas that can't really be quantified. I do wonder if the Democrats are going to suffer a little bit, because she does seem like Newt Gingrich before her, and I don't even think it's a gender issue. She does seem sort of immediately kind of grabby about things.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We'll see if this moves across the country, but honestly, in the last 2 weeks, I think she and her staff have done a remarkable job in turning her image around inside of Washington. I know inside Washington, among staffers, especially Republican staffers, even within the press corps, you know, really people saw her as just a little over the top, almost like just so coached and, you know, just really aggressive that way. But in the last couple of weeks, they really have been, believe it or not, I know this goes against what you've been hearing, but in personal interactions and in the way that she's handled herself, she has been more low-key. Now, at the same time, they've set up a number of events that she's been at, so she's definitely had a sort of mini Nancy Pelosi tour, which would have been even larger except for the death of Gerald Ford. And, you know, if you looked at her today on the House floor, she was wearing, you know, a plum suit, her traditional beads, really nothing too garish. She never has been that way, but what I noticed was, you know, sometimes she has that makeup that is just... I would say, for me, it's more than I would probably wear.
Well, it's just this side of Catherine Harris. Let's call it what it is.
I know that I'm being critical and I'm walking a very tricky line here, but she today, she was clearly toned down, not a lot of makeup that you could see. She looked fantastic. And I think that the Democrats know that her image is something that, that she needs to work on. And so that's why instead of playing up her California representation, her life there, you hear her and you hear others playing up her childhood and she grew up her entire, until she got married, really, in Baltimore and her Italian Catholic. You hear more of that. And it'll be, it remains to be seen, but certainly she's someone that it, she could not have gotten into this position if she was not tough and did not know how to make something with every bit of power that she had. But at the same time, her first words were saying, we all need to work together, which is what the Republicans are saying, too. It's almost, Rick, I almost believe them. They've almost got me. But I don't quite yet. Almost.
Hold on. I have this here. While the full weight, and I don't know, at the risk of sounding just like some nitwit political correct guy, I mean, in a way, it's almost unfortunate that you even have to address, you know, the gender issue, but you do, because it's there, and it's important, and it's historic, and so forth, or it's an historic event, as journalists insist on incorrectly saying. While the full weight of Republicans, from the Washington Times, Republicans' powerlessness sinks in 12 years after control. Democrats are celebrating the historic election today, the first female Speaker of the House. She says, we will not just break through the glass. See, this is where she gets into trouble, though. I'm telling you right now, I know how Americans think. And when she says, we are not just breaking through a glass ceiling, we are breaking through a marble ceiling, she says, in more than 200 years of history, there was an established pecking order, ... and I cut in line. After calling, and this is the Washington Times, after calling herself, this is it right here. After calling herself, quote, the most powerful woman in America, end quote, you can't do that. Because then you get images of her wearing a cowl and a cape sitting on top of a doomsday device.
Well, you, even the president who you know, could lay claim to being the most powerful man in America, if he said that, ugh.
Seriously, and then it gets better. And by better, I mean more horrifying. She says, and it's interesting that they call her Mrs. Pelosi. Mrs. Pelosi flexed her right muscle like a weightlifter to much applause at an event yesterday being Wednesday, at an event, can you imagine if this article had been written about a man, flexed her right muscle like a weightlifter to much applause.
I'm sure many men in office have flexed their muscle like that.
Okay, I'm not disputing that, but I'm saying, listen to this, to an event yesterday titled, quote, a woman's tea. And then she,
I know.
And then she said,
I know. Well, at least it wasn't ladies' tea.
And this is the final quote. She says, quote, all right, let's hear it for the power, she screamed as jubilant applause continued. She just seems a little nutty. That's all I'm saying.
Well, first of all, I want to put out there that I know you're grieving over the loss of Donald Rumsfeld.
It's true.
I know that you're looking, you need companionship, you know, you need somewhere for your wit to go. So I understand that. And Nancy Pelosi, you're right, she may in fact be your new best friend. That is very possible. But I'm just saying, in the last month, in the last 2 weeks, they really have polished up their act. And the Democrats are looking more serious than I've seen them since I've been up here. So I'm keeping my jury out. It's hard to say what's going to happen.
Fair enough. And I am of course given to incredibly pejorative snap judgments. That's kind of my raison d'être. So it is probably a fair statement to say, though, all kidding aside, that the Democrats probably know, and again, fair or not, just or not, the Democrats probably know that Nancy Pelosi's image as a female leader is very important because the Hillary factor is still out there. And they can't put a bad taste in the American mouth about strong female political leaders, because they know that if they do that, that whether it's right or not, that taint's going to land on all over the candidacy of Hillary Clinton, and you know, and they don't want that.
No, that's absolutely right. I think Democrats know that they have the first woman who has gone this far or has been a lead candidate in the presidential race ever. They know that's a factor, and they know that Nancy Pelosi's image, however different the two women are, however similar the two women are, they're connected because of that prominence. Yeah, you're right. I think they're being careful, but I think that Democrats in the House, as much as they're aware of the Clinton factor, they really know that this is make or break. They've got really a year to prove to the American public that they can really change some things in Congress, and they can't, and Nancy Pelosi has to help, not hurt, with that image, or else they're not going to retain power in 2 years.
I would say they don't even have a year. I would say they probably have 6 months, and the only reason I say for that is despite all of the GOP's claims about the, quote, liberal media, and despite the, I think, probably incontrovertible fact that the media and that the arts and show business are heavily liberal, I would say the Republicans are much better at getting out their message and framing the context, and the Democrats are going to be, at the first opportunity, the Democrats are going to be framed as losers and ineffectual and weak and inefficient by the GOP. I mean, the GOP is working on that right now. You know that they're in a back room somewhere, cooking up an eye of newt and wing of bat in some sort of a cauldron, and then they're just going to be releasing it to just, you know, to some sort of, you know, just to try to slam the Democrats as soon as they can. Is it?
Yeah.
I know it's a big day for you, so we'll let you go in a second. But I real quickly, is it true? It's one of those things I had to read 3 or 4 times because it just, my brain doesn't want to soak this in. Is it true that, according to, quote, sources with knowledge of the situation, that George Bush's groundbreaking plan for Iraq is going to be to send 30,000 additional troops there?
20 or 30,000 is what we're hearing. It's interesting. John McCain over in the Senate is saying he doesn't think 20,000 would be enough. But then you have other Republicans already coming out on Capitol Hill saying they don't think a surge plan would work. But apparently that is where the president is leaning. And you know what that means? That means someone is leaking it to the press so that they can see if people are going to get their pitchforks and show up at the White House if he actually does it. So they've leaked this idea, it seems to me, in order to really get a sense of reaction before he does a full-on announcement. But we do have to say the president leaning toward that. He is looking at that plan. He has not, at last word, made a final decision, but that is the direction that he's going in, at least as of yesterday night.
I don't even understand the need for a test balloon on this. What could they in what parallel universe do they think that the American public is going to embrace that idea as some sort of fantastic way forward? It just doesn't even, I cannot conceive of a reality in which the electorate thinks that that's a positive step.
Well, you know what I think? One reason that this idea has gained such momentum in this White House, honestly, I think it's because of the truth. In Iraq. I think they have heard from many soldiers, and I personally know soldiers in Iraq, who believe that there need to be more troops there. And you heard, when Defense Secretary Gates spent that day number two on the job in Iraq, that's what one of the soldiers told him. He said, I think we need more people here. So there, I think that is something that is really pushing this administration, and they may have liked the idea to begin with because they have, in general, they've been more hawkish. And so, but I think that word from troops, that word perhaps from some generals, has pushed in this direction. Now, other generals say a surge can't work if it's just a general throw people in there and hope it works out. It's got to be very focused. You have to have a specific set of goals in a specific neighborhood, specific area, or else it's just, you're just going to send up more people to get wounded and killed. Yeah. So that's the debate. But I do think that within the military there is a group, especially among the troops, who think more people should go.
Word on when the plan is finally going to be revealed officially?
I'm going with Tuesday. Some people say it could be Monday.
All right. Lisa Goddard on the Hill. As always, sister, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Anytime.
All right, there you go. CNN Radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Fantastic. All right, it's 503-733-2970. This email says, Rick, did you really just say that Nancy Pelosi's taint could be on Hillary's campaign? Yes, I did. You'll note that I did not say that the Nancy Pelosi taint could be all over Hillary. That really was the phrase. It was gonna, and I swear to God, it was just, I just meant it as a journalist. I meant it as a socio-political observation. And then it, why must you take everything I say and make it horrible? Why must you twist my words?
Right. Okay.
How you doing over there? All right, so anyway.
So I was going to get Smokey in here, but...
Now, who sent you the email about my, quote, bathroom habits?
Aaron, shall I read it?
Aaron, geek in the city?
Aaron, whose house you're at very frequently.
That's not true. You're
true.
Overstating it. I barely... No, I...
Didn't you just spend New Year's Eve over at his house?
Shut up! Shut your mouth.
Okay.
All right, is this clean?
Shall I read?
Is
yes.
It fit for Aaron? All right.
Can I say puddles?
There would be no need to.
Okay. Sarah, look, we all love El Ricardo. However, that being said, he does indeed, he does have some issues with aiming. also not a fan of lowering the seats.
Okay, there were many people there.
Look, I'm not one to judge. However, it's funny to watch the lovely Jen, who's his wife, of course, use said restroom moments later after Rick exiting said restroom and questioning quite non-ironically, I love Rick, but damn, how does Lara live with that? Seat up, and there were some puddles.
Okay, the seat up should not even be an issue. We have to remove that from any future discussion, because that's a retarded complaint. That's a dumb complaint.
All right.
It's 2006.
Then we'll just focus
find
on the
something
puddles.
Else to complain about. The heat, that is a fabrication.
It is not.
Okay.
Because he's trying to be really kind about it. He's like that, you know, I
you
love
know that
Rick.
Aaron is an instigator. He is an instigator. He is an agent provocateur. He likes to provoke, and he likes to stir crap
No,
up.
I think that he was just saving that inside of himself. He didn't want to say anything to make you uncomfortable, and then we happened to
he
bring it up.
He didn't want to get his taint all over me. You know, the taint of this subject matter. He didn't want to get the taint of the story.
Oh, my God. Yes, anyway, puddles.
Okay, let me ask you this. Does this mean, now, if you place so much stock in his account of my use of his bathroom, does that mean that we can place the same amount of stock in his description of that party that you both were at where you were, how do I put this, shoving your ass towards him and saying, quote, I want you to tap this?
No.
The tapping mean
happen.
Tap with the hand, to be smacking as
I
though it's
it
banking.
I said it jokingly, and there was no shoving my... No, I don't do that. I just kind of
turn
around.
That's what he claimed. I believe that Aaron claimed that you wanted to
he
to be spanked
but you know
or
what?
Otherwise
that
paddled.
Was Aaron talking. This is Jen. This is a quote from
that's
Jen.
That's Aaron claiming that he's speaking for Jen. We don't have any idea what her actual take
maybe
on this
we should
is.
Get Jen on the phone.
Let's not. Why don't we just...
Oh, okay. Run, little boy. Run.
Because then that's just weird.
Why is it weird?
Because
then it'll show that you leave puddles at people's houses.
Okay. Think about what you're saying. I mean, that would imply that I had, like, a leak in my knee or something. That doesn't even make any sense.
It doesn't make sense, Rick.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying it. It's not true.
How come two people are saying the same thing? It isn't any other description.
Smokey's saying it because he's a jerk. Aaron is saying it because he likes to instigate. You know what Aaron likes to do? There's a thing that you do in school called dogpiling. You girls may not do
it. He pulled me aside and talked to me because he was concerned.
He may not be a jerk. I'm just saying Smokey's doing it to be.
So why do you think that he would pull me aside and not talk to you about it and bring it up to me?
Well,
asking if I could talk to you about it.
Because Smokey likes to jab a little bit. Smokey just likes to. He is a low grade.
Do you feel that you're being falsely accused?
I do. He's kind of a low grade instigator. Aaron, though, is a full on dog piler. That's what he is.
All right.
When Aaron sees an opportunity, Aaron just, man, he just sticks right in there and just stirs it up like no one can.
Okay, well, I'm going to try and get Jen's phone number and then we can talk to her.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That won't be awkward at all. We can do an hour long discussion on bathroom habits to follow up yesterday's hour long discussion of whores. I'm so glad that this week CBS is choosing our programs to make composite tapes out of for our advertisers. Hello and greetings, future sponsors. Oh, God. All right. Do we have to break? Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up around the corner, an hour respite from this bathroom talk. Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, the AM 970 Noon News Hour. It's just a couple minutes away. You stay right there. It's 503-733-2970. Later on, Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. It's the Beastie Boys.